Shankar Mahadevan and Leslie Lewis. It's the Colonial Cousins, better known as Colonial Cousins. That was Sunny Dapama. Well, for you on FM Rainbow. In the meantime, we're coming back to what we were doing initially. That's we're talking to Mr. Naveen Banur, who runs the charity organization called Educate. That's what we're doing here on FM Rainbow this evening. Well, talking about this evening, I have a couple of messages here which says it's a magical evening, raindrops making it even more beautiful, I believe. Well, certainly it is. And especially with some good intentions in the heart, we make this country and this whole world a better place to live in. Anyway, if you want to send us your SMSs, you can shoot your questions about the organization that we're talking about as well. Simply type in BGRB, that's Bangalore Rainbow, BGRB. Leave a space, then type in your message and send it straight away to 5676744. Once again, the SMS number for you, it's 5676744. Just do that straight away and we'll get back to some more talking with Mr. Naveen Banur. All right, so we are back here on track and we were talking about how you had helped the people who had been in the flood-affected areas. Well, you also mentioned that you work for a company called Span, but can you tell me, how do you manage to juggle your time between the two, that's the charity organization and your company?
Well, it's actually a very good question. Mm-hmm. And I have luckily been able to do that so far. Mm-hmm. And most of there is a lot of personal time that goes into running the trust.
Right.
I spend time on the weekends and several hours in the mornings and evenings, and especially during this time when people get back to school and they mm-hmm. need to pay their fees.
Yes.
This is around the time when the workload actually increases even at home.
Mm-hmm.
But the good part is Span, which is an EDB company, mm-hmm. both have a corporate social responsibility agenda.
Okay.
And for Span, I had the CSR program, so which makes it a little easier for me, and okay. I get some time off from work to be able to manage CSR activities as well.
Okay.
So I personally have visited the flooded areas along with other volunteers from Span,
mm-hmm.
and we were able to take time off from work and do this.
Okay. All right. So that's primarily what you did in the flood-affected areas for all the people, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
And also, one more thing that I wanted to know is, what made you choose support education as a primary objective among many other things? I mean, you could have helped them for food or probably for shelter. You could have built an orphanage or something like that. But why did you primarily focus on education?
Like I said earlier, I think the major drive, according to us, we had actually, like I said, we started this in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, I remember this debate between me and a friend of mine for long hours, actually, on mm-hmm. What should really be, why we should really be doing education more than anything else. I think we spoke about the digital divide, and we also know that education is one way of actually empowering people
mm-hmm.
and getting them into the mainstream.
Yeah.
You'll also see that once a guy is educated, the civic sense goes up.
True.
And that's one of the things that we felt was missing. And we all see all the amenities that people get in the other parts of the world. You
yeah.
see all of the civic, high civic sense that is inculcated through the schooling process.
Yes.
Which is why we said that this is a good platform, good reason to do and help people go to school.
That reminds me of what my granddad used to say when I was a kid. He used to say knowledge or education is something that which is a treasure which nobody can take away from you. I mean, you could donate money to an organization probably, but someone else might misuse it or it might just go away somewhere. But by giving knowledge, it can never be misused or it can never be robbed of the people. So I think that's a great thing to give to someone.
Well,
as
you
gift.
Just said it. If you look at the tagline for Educate, it says, Nahi Gnane Na Sadrisham.
Wow.
Which
can
is
you tell
exactly,
us what that means?
What you just said exactly.
Right.
I mean, there is no substitute for
education.
Knowledge, or there is no, you know, it cannot, and nothing can give you better returns than knowledge.
Wow. Right. Brilliant. Okay. And the organization that we're talking about, what's the size of this organization?
Well, we're still very young. We've the trustees are still it's still very closely held, and the trustees are running it.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is that I have a lot of people who are interested in doing mm-hmm. Voluntary work for the trust.
Okay.
And again, I want to bring in the fact that there is a good focus for CSR in the company I work, which is Span, and. We have a lot of people in Span who are interested in working. There are people from outside, you know, who are interested in helping us work with these school or children and bring them to speed.
What sort of help are we talking about here? Are we talking about monetary help or like doing some voluntary work?
Well, both. I think there are people who are willing to contribute monetarily, and which is one form of contribution, and it's a good form of contribution.
It is, no doubt.
But what is more important is that, you know, people are also willing to put time and effort in helping these children and, you know, counseling them if required.
Okay.
And, you know, they come back with their performances every once in 3 months. Their performances, you know, they get judged in school, but they come back and review that with us, and we see if they're going off track. They need some help from a counseling perspective. So the volunteers help in doing all that activity. And there's also, you know, in the new project that we've just taken up, I mean, that needs a lot of help.
So volunteers can basically go up to the children and probably, you know, teach them English if they're good at English, or teach them arts and crafts and impart any kind of knowledge, are you saying?
Well, we have two kinds of programs. I mean, one of them is where we pick children from references. There are those we know come from a good reference, and we understand that the financial background is not the best, and we look at those children and help them go into mainstream schools. The other agenda is to work with schools that are government schools and help children in the government schools to feel equal socially as well. Right. So from that perspective, remember, all of the teaching in government schools is still in Kannada.
It is.
And therefore, we had to look at teaching in Kannada. And so the voluntary work is a little more difficult in that sense. That, you know, English teaching becomes secondary. And, you know, most of the people who come from the background that we've seen in the IT industry, that's where my friends are.
Yeah.
And they are not the best in teaching in Kannada. So teaching is a little difficult, but they help in counseling. They help in putting an agenda for the school and how, you know, we're looking to do sports days and cultural activities in the school.
Brilliant.
So these are things that are done in mainstream schools, which some of the government schools miss.
Excellent. So when it comes to government schools, your focus would automatically shift to Kannada, so that because the medium of teaching itself is in Kannada in the government schools.
That is right. I mean, that activity has to happen in Kannada. So there will be, so we have to look for people who can coach in Kannada. We work with the teachers as well. I mean, who can speak English, and we do that. You know, we help in computer labs. We bring Span is actually funding one of the computer labs in one of the government schools. So,
brilliant. Okay, we are talking to Mr. Naveen Banur about the Educate, the organization which does a lot for the needy students, especially who are underprivileged. We'll come back after a short little commercial break, but don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. We still have plenty of interview. Anyway, time to read out a few messages. And of course, yes, all those people who want messages and ask questions about the organization that we're talking about, Educate, that is. Well, simply just type in BGRB, which stands for Bangalore Rainbow, BGRB. Leave a space, then type in your message and send it to 5676744. The SMS number once again, it's 5676744. In the meantime, I have a few messages here which I'd like to read out to you. One message here by Rashmi says that Mr. Naveen, you're doing a great job, and we too like to help the poor and needy. And she also wants me to specifically play a track from the movie Anari, that's Kisi Ke Muskurahat. Certainly, I'll fulfill that wish for you, Rashmi, not to worry. Okay, and one more message here. It says, I'm grateful to you, sir, for the charitable activities. God bless you. That's what Sridhar from Jayanagar 7th Block says. Right, coming back to what we're talking to Naveen Banur, who's the co-founder and the managing trustee for the organization called Educate. Right, you were telling us about the organization wherein you provide a lot of facilities for the underprivileged students. Can you tell me one thing? How do you actually decide who the students are?
Well, it's not an easy pick.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is there's a lot of people who, you know, once they know that there's an organization like this that can support, you can get all kinds of inquiries for support. We're always dealing with money that is not ours. It's a fund that's generated out of social equity. So we always try to deploy it properly. So in the process of when people come in, we try and see if it comes in through a reference, ideally. If somebody really knows the person and knows that they have a financially difficult situation to deal with, And you, many times we get children from schools that are actually going to mainstream schools, and they run out of money and they can't pay their fees. They're, the school is threatening to throw them out. So these are the kind of kids that come to us, and we try and see the merits. Go and do a check. Mm-hmm. Many times the volunteers go and even visit the
small scrutiny.
Due diligence.
Yeah.
We ask them if they're working for, some people work at places where the salaries are not very good. They're meager. So we ask them for income certificates and certificates from their employers. Mm-hmm. So we have a form they fill in. Mm-hmm. And we do a scrutiny of that form. Mm-hmm. And get the details from them and actually go and do a cross check. Mm-hmm. To the best extent possible. Mm-hmm. That's what we really do for when kids come in, when parents normally come and approach us for support for their kids. Okay. It's interesting that, you know, one of the things that comes out is that most of the times it's only the mother who approaches us.
Okay.
The father is almost hidden in the back. So it's the mom that comes in and requests for help. And these are obviously from social backgrounds where the father is not necessarily as interested as the mom in getting the son or the child educated. Yeah. So mothers seem to take a more prominent role in trying to get their children socially equal.
Mm. Maybe even the fathers know more, so probably the mother is trying to support the family too by providing education to the child.
Yes, we have several such cases. Where
I have just one case here. In fact, this is just a coincidence that you had to bring up that topic. Had a message here from number ending 3599 who says that my brother has a problem with education. Can he join this NGO? He has stopped his to study after 7th standard when his father passed away. That's the message it says.
I will be absolutely interested in a case like that. Yeah. We are looking for very genuine cases all the time.
Yes.
And many times when the father is lost, the mother is not necessarily able to support the entire requirements of
very
the family.
True.
If they come from backgrounds where they're not into jobs that are high paying, mm-hmm. and they end up doing housemaid kind of work, or
yes.
they end up doing work as in, you know, I know families where the mom is a cook, and they end up cooking in two or three houses and earn some money, but that's not enough to send them into schools. The other pattern that we've seen is that they don't necessarily pick very expensive schools, mm-hmm. but today even the a second or third tier school is expensive for anywhere between 10,000 and 15,000 rupees is the fees that people pay per year, and that is difficult for some families. So I'll absolutely be interested in a case like this.
Yeah, and the salaries that we are talking about these people would range anything between 3,000 and 4,000. So there is no way they're going to be able to support a child's education so easily.
Yes, I mean, we look at what they're doing. So we know that there's a struggle for livelihood. So schooling is beyond their reach. Mm-hmm. And they've started in schools which are mainstream. Mm-hmm. And it'll be difficult for them to give that up and go to other schools which are run by the government. So for them, they're caught between the rock and the hard place. So trying to pull them out of that is a good agenda.
Great. A couple of other things here. Can you tell us how do actually people approach you for assistance, and how does someone contribute to your trust?
Well, we have we get inquiries in two forms. Mostly it is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. People get to know that we're doing something like this, and one goes to the other, and we've seen people who bring their other friends or those are in the same school who have a similar situation as theirs, and they come and introduce those people to us. The other thing that we also have a website which is educate.org, mm-hmm. And where people can reach out to us. We have all of our contacts are published on that website. Mm-hmm. So we have my contact and other trustees and volunteers who are running the trust are published on the website. So the people look at that and call sometimes.
Wonderful. And one more question I've got here for you. That's, do the donors who sponsor the education of specific named children, or do they have to donate it only to the trust as an endowment?
Well, we're still growing as a NGO. We're growing as a non-profit organization, and so we're open to ideas from anybody who's interested to contribute in any form.
Okay.
We have this trust supports children till the 12th grade. Second year PUC, yes.
Okay.
Right, so that that is the platform where we sort of hand off the child and say, listen, you're going into a professional program if you want, whether it's law, commerce, or engineering, medicine, anything.
Yeah.
And most of them end up being professionally paying programs as well thereafter. Mm-hmm. So we look for them to fund it. Government has a good program for how they can generate loans for professional programs. So we sort of hand over the child to to the system thereafter,
okay,
and let them manage it on their own. So until the 12th grade, the support comes in from the trust, and that's really
the way it works. Wow. Okay. All right. We are talking to Mr. Naveen Banu, who runs an NGO called Educate. Well, we still have a bit of time here to play you some beautiful tracks that are queued up here. In fact, somebody wanted me to play a lovely track called Kisi Ki Muskurato Se from the movie Anari. And Rashmi wanted me to specifically play it to Mr. Naveen, who is doing such a wonderful job with his charity organization. So here it goes, just for you. Anari, that was Kisi Ki Muskurahaton Se. Anyway, we are coming back. A few messages to be read out. A lot of people messaging. Got a message here which says that... let's have a look. Seem to have lost that message somewhere here. Anyway, it was right here with me. Anyway, if you want to send your messages, it's simply type in BGRB, leave a space, type in your message. Keep it short and simple so that it doesn't come in broken parts to us. And send it to 5676744. Right, this message from Umar Khan says, good service, but my one ambition and question to you is, why did you not start this in a village and rural areas instead of selecting the city? Says Umar Khan, that's the question he's asking. He's basically asking, why has this program been started and initiated in the city, and why not in the rural areas? Mr. Banu, do you have an answer for that?
Yeah, I think it's a... I don't think we are saying we will not do. If you like, the next project that we have is not in Bangalore.
Oh, is it? Okay.
We've picked up... it is required for us to do, and the support that we did for flooded areas were all outside
rural,
of Bangalore, obviously.
Definitely.
Education part is that we are talking about is for children and who are here. It need not be in Bangalore. It's just that we are located here, and therefore we get inquiries from people here. When you go back to villages, the primary place for education is the government school.
Yep.
There are some towns where you'll find bigger schools, but if you go to a village, the schools that you have access to is the government-run school.
All right.
Right. So we picked up one government school and we have started work there. So it's a good question, and I'm lucky I have an answer for him because we've actually picked up a school in Bidadi. And we've taken up the entire management. So the government of Karnataka has a program for public-private partnership.
All right.
And we've done that.
So it's partially supported by the government of Karnataka as well?
No, it's not supported by the government of Karnataka. The school itself is run by the government of Karnataka.
All right.
So
okay.
The government of Karnataka has 50,000 schools in Karnataka.
Wow.
Right, so we're not dealing with. So they have a job on hand. It's not an easy job.
It's not easy to manage.
So we're looking at. So the public-private partnership in some form. We entered an agreement with the government, with a block development, block education officer, and the DDPI. That is the organization in the Karnataka government that gets into an agreement with organizations like us. And so we've done that. We've signed an agreement recently, and we're looking to provide infrastructure help. We're looking to help counseling children. We're also looking to do regular activities in those schools, which are available in mainstream schools, so that the children there get the benefit.
They're on par with the students of other schools who pass.
Right.
As well.
Yeah. If you see the most important aspect of schooling is building self-esteem.
Right.
Right, and that is what should come from a good school. So,
if you
notice people coming from good schools, whatever is their the marks they've got or the grades they've earned in those schools, the social esteem or the self esteem is very high.
Yeah,
and when a child is given the same kind of environment, we think that whatever is the economic background, whatever the social criteria that they come from, they get a platform to be equal with the social mainstream.
Okay, right. And since you're working with a government school, what's your opinion about them, and what, according to you, are the biggest challenges or hurdles that you normally face?
I think when we operate from a trust like ours, mm-hmm. The primary challenge is when you have volunteers who cannot speak Kannada. Mm-hmm. So for me, I have volunteers who are actually from Lucknow. They're people who come from who are living in Bangalore today and are wanting to help the trust and wanting to help children.
Right.
So I have a person who wants to teach math, but he cannot teach math in English because the children right. are not used to English medium.
So language is a small barrier.
Language yeah. is a bit of a barrier. Yeah. But we can continue to do all of the infrastructure support mm-hmm. For these schools. Mm-hmm. You will see that even today, there are many schools where there are no desks, there are no benches, there are people, children squat on the floor all day and listen to their teachers.
Yes.
The teachers themselves don't have chairs in some schools.
Yeah.
Right? There was another school that we dealt with where part of the Akshara Dasoha, the midday meal program.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's very active. Children get good food in that program. But there is this school, and this is in Bangalore. You know, we're not even talking about a school outside of Bangalore. Mm-hmm. The children would be served food in their hands, you know, mm-hmm. hot food going in their hands. So they didn't have... of course, they could bring their plates from home, but some of the school had not had the practice. Mm-hmm. So it was very simple to donate 350 plates.
Yes.
To that school. And we said we had our name on it, and we said this will be in the school. The child will not take it home.
Yes.
And they come back. They have a noted area from where they pick up their plates. It's good for them to wash their own plates and all that. But
yes.
At least they have something to eat on. And the food, you know, when I met the principal, he said, you know, the food is hot. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we need to wait for the food to cool down a bit, so that we can serve.
Right.
Instead, this was a better option. So these are the kind of things that you know, one can't really point fingers at the government mm-hmm. and say that they're not really doing a job. They have a huge job on hand. And any help that we can give, I think we should look at it positively and say that this is what we have and live with it and therefore try and promote it to the best extent possible.
That's brilliant. Okay, we're talking to Mr. Naveen Banu, who runs the charity organization called Educate. But we'll come back and have a small ending note on that note as well. But this track, especially going out from the movie Pardes Diwana Dil to Rekha, Shri Krishna and Arunava for all their help. Called Educate. Right, Mr. Banu, do you have a note to end this whole conversation with, or do you have a message for all the listeners out there?
Well, I think I'm not that big to be leaning out messages to people, but what is really a good thing to see is that we belong to a country that is very rich in its heritage.
Mm-hmm.
We have belong to a state that is rich in its heritage.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that are willing to help all the time. We've seen crises coming up in the time during floods. We've, mm-hmm. we've seen crises during the 26/11. The way people came up and helped
right.
Is always overwhelming. What we need to do, the only message I have is that, you know, better your civic sense, contribute in any form to the society. There's
yes.
a lot that you've taken from it.
Yeah.
So even a small giving back
will
is
really
always
help.
Is a meaningful contribution to the society. I think that is something that I'd like to part with. And
yeah.
I want to thank you very much for bringing me on air.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
And bringing this message out to the people. Hopefully, you know, and I also thank FM Rainbow for giving me the opportunity to be on air.
Absolutely. And also, as a corporates, do you think anything specifically, any message to all the corporates who are listening to the show right now?
Well, if you look at the band of IT kind of companies, many of them have an agenda for corporate responsibility. They've tied up with organizations
mm-hmm.
like this. But it's good for everyone out there to do their bit, even if it's the smallest contribution,
right.
To come out and support an NGO or to even do it directly themselves. Have a identified corporate social responsibility program
mm-hmm.
Is something that we should really encourage with any corporate. And if you look at Bangalore today, there's not just IT, I mean, there's manufacturing that's coming up in some form
mm-hmm.
and they can contribute as well into where things are.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Naveen Banu, for being on air with us. Right, so you're listening to Mr. Naveen Banu all this while, but it's time to say goodbye. And of course, at 7 o'clock, like always, you have FM Rainbow news headlines coming up. And after that is your Kannada request show, which Prashant will take you through so you can bombard his inbox with your requests as well. So Karthik signing off, saying tada goodbye. Only temporarily, I'll see you again at 9 o'clock on Must 101.3. And don't forget to tune in for the Thursday night thunder. Take care. Goodbye. We dig on.